Can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. Feel the warm presence of the Lord Jesus. See the people and to see those that are interested in the Lord and in the wonderful things of God as we gather from night to night to talk about the things of God. Truly a great thing is taking place by us being here in Eden and we've not had, as of yet, but a few days meeting. And I don't know just exactly what the Lord wants us to do or will tell us to do. But we've enjoyed it. A few days that we've been here, we've really enjoyed it. We had quite a hindrance in getting everything set up and ready to go. But the Lord has blessed us, and we've thoroughly enjoyed every night of it. And tonight, I'm expecting the Lord to say something to us to encourage our hearts in the wonderful knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we should grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We should grow to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. I want to read some from over in the book of Revelation if you've got your Bibles tonight. Let's turn over to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. In the 11th verse of the third chapter, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The fourth chapter, first verse. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." I'd like to talk just a little bit concerning this, if you don't mind. Now, it's hot or it's warm in here, and I'd like to just take my time for a few minutes and talk with you. I'd like to get comfortable, if you don't mind. If you want to take off your coat, you can take it off too. But I want to get comfortable just for a few minutes, and I want to talk with you. I want to say some things to you tonight. Now, last night, we said quite a number of things. And from night to night, we have kind of approached our situation or subject very softly. And last night, we got down to some real meat of the word. You know, folks, I'd just like to talk to you out of my heart tonight. We're talking about heaven. Isn't that right? We are talking about heaven. And we're not talking about some earthly thing, some fantasy. We're talking about a genuine reality. We are talking about heaven, something that's real, something that's lasting, something that's eternal. You know, people of the day that we're living in, they have actually lost their vision of heaven. Did you know that? They have been blessed so in the natural, and God has been so good to them in the natural, concerning the natural things of this world, till they have literally lost sight of a spiritual world and the things of God. They have become so complacent and so satisfied with the tangible side of life, it has become so plushed until they have actually lost sight of God and lost sight of spiritual things. In the early church, it wasn't like that at all. There was such a heavy persecution, and things wasn't as plentiful for the people as they are today here in America. And people considered heaven more, and they considered the world to come more. But you know, we live in general in this world as though there is no other world to come. And we live with such a satisfaction and such a contentment that all of our appropriation, our planning, is just for this world. We plan our children's education. We plan to have nice homes. We look for fine automobiles. We think about putting money in the bank. We think about comforts and convenience and to make everything nice so that we can have rest within our bodies. We think about insurance in the event that we get sued, or we think about insurance in the event that we have to go to the hospital. And we are pressed with necessity on every side, and in that the enemy has so pressed us, we have become complacent and we've lit upon that, and we've turned to that in such a way until we've forgotten there's a Jesus. And we've forgotten there's a God. We haven't forgotten church. We go to church. We go to church. We do all of those things. We belong to a church. But in all reality, we have forgotten God. Paul said, I say, we to keep from saying you, that is those that are guilty. Therefore, we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the reality of Christ. If one of us tonight had to really lean upon Christ Jesus, to believe him to supply our needs, we'd have a real difficult time. Did you know that? That's easy to believe the Lord Jesus as long as you got a good income. As long as your body's healthy and you've got a good income and everything's going well with you. It's not hard to believe because you know that that income is coming in with a regularity. And you know that everything's all right, so you feel like you're believing and that's all there is to it. But just supposing something real bad should take place. Supposing we should be without that assurance of weekly earnings. Supposing something happened all of a sudden. Could we really deep down in our heart trust God for our daily bread? Well, we would panic. You know we would. People would be frustrated. They wouldn't know what to do. But have you ever really trusted God for your daily bread? I've done it many times. Have you ever really trusted God for your daily bread? Have you been in a place to where there was no friends and nobody and no income and no nothing? And you just had to look to God and say, Jesus, give me my daily bread, and have God to give you your daily bread and to take care of you and to meet your needs day by day? Have you ever done that? I tell you, it takes faith in God. It takes faith in God to do that. It's going to take the same experience, the same kind of faith to be able to heal our bodies and bring us the divine deliverance that will keep us living in this world. I said that to refer back to the scripture here. Think about the scripture in the book of Revelation. This is the Spirit Himself speaking. This is God, the Eternal One. He is speaking here, and He says here, He said, if you have an ear, I want you to hear what I've got to say to you. The Holy Spirit said, if you have an ear, Brother Pike, or if you have an ear, people of Eden, I would like for you to hear what I have to say unto you. Now, the Spirit said this. I want you to listen to what He had to say. He is speaking to the angel of the Laodicean church. The angel of the Laodicean church age. Now, do you know which church age that is? Are you familiar with the Laodicean church age? The word Laodicean meaning people's rights. We spoke of that the other night, that we're living in the day of people's rights. Every nationality in the world, they're demanding their rights. The woman is demanding her rights. The black man is demanding his rights. The white man is demanding his rights. The husband is demanding his right. The children are demanding their rights. It is the Laodicean age. Look how Jesus referred to this. He said, you that have an ear, I want you to hear what I have to say unto this church age. And He said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. He said, I know thy works. Now I want you to listen, folks. He said, Laodicean people, Brother Pike, people of Eden, people all over the nation, people throughout the world, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, the Catholics. Now listen to it. He said, I know thy works. He said that thou art neither cold nor hot. Are you listening to me tonight? He said, Laodicean church age, I have something to say to you. He said, in the Laodicean church age. Now, He wasn't talking to a foreigner. He wasn't talking to somebody else. See, if Brother Pike says something against the Baptist, the Methodist can get mad. If I say something against the Methodist, the Baptist can get mad. If I say something against the Pentecostal, they can get mad, right? But the thing is, God, who owns the church, and God to whom the church belongs, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, or whatever, doesn't God have a right to say what He wants to the church? God said, I say unto the church, you are neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. He said, so then, because you are lukewarm, I am going to spew thee out of my mouth. I want you to listen at some strong terms now. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Can you imagine God talking like that? God said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. He said, you cannot eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. You cannot mix darkness with light. And He calls darkness the intellectual reasoning of mankind. And He calls light His understanding and His order of the church. And He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. And then the question arises in our hearts. We say, God, what do you mean all of your tables are filled with vomit? You mean the tables of God are filled with vomit? What are the tables of God? It's the church. That's the church. That's God's table. He feeds the whole world from His tables. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. And then we say, Lord, what do you mean your tables are filled with vomit? What are you trying to tell us? Are you trying to insult us? Jesus preaching one time, the Pharisees and the scribes said, Jesus Christ, you insult us. You reproach us by what you say. Jesus said, nevertheless, it's that way. It's that way. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. And then the question arises, what do you mean, Lord? All of your tables are filled with vomit. He says, I have spewed you out of my mouth. And what I have spewed out of my mouth is what a man vomits up. When somebody spews something out of their mouth, when they vomit it up, He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit because I've spewed you out of my mouth. Why have I spewed you out of my mouth? It stands to reason that if I wanted something to drink tonight, I'd want something cold. Or if it was a cold day, I'd want something hot. But if you brought me something lukewarm, it would make me sick. And I no doubt would spew it back up. Isn't that right? So then God said, I've spewed you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. Then we ask the question, what do you mean, Lord, that we're neither hot nor cold? What are you talking about being hot or cold, Jesus? What are you trying to tell us, Holy Spirit? And then we think of it like this, what is cold or hot? God said, if you was serving me, if you was on fire for God, if you was fervent in the Spirit, then I would consider you to be hot. He said, if you was out there in the world like Esau and having a good time and going out there having the things of the world and enjoy the sin for a season, I would consider you cold. He said, but inasmuch as you've had the gospel preached to you and you know the right thing and you won't go the right way, I consider you lukewarm and I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, because you are a religious people and you listen to my word every day and you know my desire and you know the way to go, then I will spew you out of my mouth because you are neither cold nor hot. He says, if you was ignorant and you did not know any way to go, then the blood that I spilt at Calvary would atone for your sins. And the blood that I spilt at Calvary, it would be in your behalf because you would be innocent in that you did not know. He said, but inasmuch as you've heard the gospel lay out of sin, and because you know my word and preachers are everywhere on television, in the newspaper and on the radio, by the printed page, whatever. He said, you know about my word and you know about my way. They even make movies concerning me. He said, and because you know this and you will not incorporate this in your life, because you know this and you will not follow the way of God, he said, then are you lukewarm and I will spew thee out of my mouth. Listen at it, folks. Because thou sayest that thou art rich. He said, this age would talk about their wealth. Isn't that true? You know, I travel all over the different parts of the world and the church seems to be rich. Nice big cathedrals, plush pews, television programs, nice automobiles, can dress real good. The church seems to be wealthy. The church seems to be rich. He said, because thou sayest thou art doing well, and because thou sayest that thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, he said, it is very obvious that you do not know that you are blind. It is obvious that you do not know that you are miserable. And it is obvious that you do not know that you are poor. And it is obvious that you do not know that you are without the garment of Christ and you are naked in my sight. And listen, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. Did you know you can't rebuke the church today? If you rebuke the church today, did you know you'll lose about a third of your membership? You'll lose about a third of the church. Somebody would say, preacher, you hurt my feelings. I don't like what you say. Years ago, preachers didn't preach according to people's feelings. They preached according to the word of God. Can't you imagine a judge sitting in the seat of judgment and he's doing his work according to people's feelings? And because this man is a murderer, he feels like he'll hurt his feelings if he sentences him. So he turned the murderer loose. Can't you just imagine a judge doing that? No, that's inconceivable. You can't imagine such a thing. The judge is there to judge the situation. He is there to proclaim liberty to those that deserve liberty. And he is there to bring the penalty of justice upon those who are troubling others and has become a menace to society. If you rebuke the church today, the church wants to get upset. The people want to leave. Now listen to me, folks, for just a minute. If you speak about their favorite evangelist on TV, you lose your congregation. If you speak about their favorite pastor, you lose your congregation. Years ago, you didn't do that. When you preach the word, people listen to the word of God. And as the old saying went, if the shoe fit, they put it on and they wore it. If it fit their pastor, they pointed their finger at their pastor. If it fit their favorite evangelist, they pointed their finger at the favorite evangelist. And they told the pastor and the favorite evangelist to line up with the Word of God, because they were afraid that they would die and go into the lake of fire. And God was a reality to them, and serving Christ was a reality to them. And they were concerned about their soul more than their television evangelist, more than their pastor, more than the things of the world. And so they listened very carefully. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. If you're my people, he said, I'm going to rebuke you. Are you listening? David said, let the righteous smite me. It is a blessing unto me. Let somebody that loves God come and reprove me when they see me doing wrong. Let somebody that loves God come and tell me about my wrong. Let the righteous smite me, because it's necessary for him to smite me. It is necessary for him to talk with me and reveal to me my shortcomings. Let my brother come to me and tell me if I'm not doing the thing according to the Bible, if he sees my shortcoming. And let me go to my brother and let me tell my brother. Let me tell him if I see him wrong. And don't let me puff up and pout. And when my brother comes and tells me about my shortcomings and gives me the Bible, I puff up and pout and I say, well, I'm Baptist, you're Methodist, and he's Pentecostal, and we're all going to the same place anyway. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. Every time a preacher mentions somebody's name, don't fly up and get mad. You know, and say, I'm not going to listen to this. Do you know that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, as he walked this earth, did you know he said the doctors of the law, he said, Pharisees and scribes, you're hypocrites. Are you listening? Did you know that same tender, loving Jesus Christ walked into the sanctuary and turned over the table and popped the whip and drove them out of the sanctuary and said, this is my Father's house. It is written in the Holy Scriptures that it should be of all nations called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Supposing I held a revival like that in Eden in one of the churches, I wonder what kind of reception I would get. Yet the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same loving God. I wonder if the same Jesus Christ got up on the television and he began to preach this kind of gospel, and he slung one thing one way and something another way, and he popped the whip and said, you bunch of hypocrites. You've made my Father's house a place of money changers. I wonder what kind of revival we would have, folks. I wonder how long they let him stay on TV. Are you listening? I'm talking about a real, genuine experience with God. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about holy things. I'm talking about the way that God said it and the way that God did it and what God expects out of me and what God expects out of you. I'm talking about the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking about sons and daughters of God. And the great spirit said, Laodicean church, would you listen to what I have to say? Laodicean church, can you hear what the spirit is saying unto the churches? I would that thou wert hot or cold. Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. For thou art miserable, and thou art naked, and thou art blind, and thou art wretched. I counsel of thee to buy of me the fine raiment that's been tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as I love, I rebuke. How does God rebuke us? Isn't it through the minister? Isn't it the minister that is set there to bless a curse? The Bible said, whoever he blesses will be blessed. Whoever he curses will be cursed. Isn't it the minister that God is speaking through when the Bible said it's not him speaking, but God speaking to the people? Aren't we standing in Christ instead of beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ Jesus? Isn't it God meeting with his people when God lifts up his voice and God speaks about his word and God rebukes his people? If the preacher does not have any authority to rebuke, then how is God going to rebuke his people? The Bible said concerning the minister, said, rebuke, reprove with all long-suffering and all doctrine. God said, folks, if I love you, I'll rebuke you. If you're the kind of person that won't take rebuke, he said, it's for sure you don't belong to me. If you're the kind of person that's temperamental and nobody can tell you anything and nobody can instruct you in anything, he said, it's for sure that you don't belong to me. If you're the kind of person that's all puffed up, that has all the answers and won't listen to nobody, he said, it's for sure you don't belong to me. For he said, as many as I love, I rebuke. And he said, I not only rebuke them, but I chasten them. I also chasten them. Listen, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, he said. Therefore, he said, you repent, have a repentive heart. He said, repent. When that preacher preaches something and you know that you're not doing it, when he preaches according to your mode of dress and you know that you're not dressing right, you repent in your heart. Don't you rise up like that, you know, and get all upset and say, bless God, I'll do such and such. Don't you do it. You repent in your heart and you say, my God, I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. Now that I know it's required of me, and I'll do better. Somebody said one time, said, you want to preach on the clothesline. I said, dear beloved friend, if somebody don't preach on the clothesline, there won't be any clothes on the line to preach on. The Bible said when God came, he found them naked. I talked to a couple of young girls one time. I said, why do you go around in this kind of condition all the time? You're practically nude. They said, well, mother likes it this way because she doesn't have to wash many clothes. Are you listening? Somebody said, Brother Pike, God's not in dressing. Where do you get that? The Bible said concerning the women that they should dress as the women of old, and that in modest apparel. How is it that you feel that? Somebody said, well, God is a spirit, and all we've got to do is have faith in God. I agree to that. But I said the other night, just believing, blessed friend, that's not faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. It's not what you believe that's faith. You can believe anything you want to, and it still won't be faith. You can believe in a certain denomination. You can believe in a certain thing. You can believe in a certain preacher. You can believe in a certain way. That doesn't mean you believe anything so far as having faith. The Bible said in the last days, they'll depart from the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. There is no faith except that which is the word. Whatever the word teaches, if you believe that, that's faith. Anything that you believe outside of that is just your believing. You say, but I believe in God, so does the devil. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, so does the devil's plural believe, and they tremble when they think about it. But that does not mean that they have faith. You say, but I can quote the word of God, so can the devil. The devil stood and quoted the word of God to Jesus and said, cast yourself down from here. For thus is it written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee. And they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Now, isn't that a good Bible scholar? Not a good Bible scholar, but a Bible scholar. You know, the Bible says, it says that they have taken God's word and they have changed God's word into a lie. Would you believe that people can change the word of God into a lie? That's the way your lying signs and wonders come. They change the miracles into a lie. They change the word of God into a lie. They change Christianity into a lie. They change religion into a lie. And it's all deceptive and it looks good, but it's not real. Isn't that right? Like it was said of Solomon proving something one time when somebody said, I'd like for you to show me the difference between the fruit over here that's real and the fruit over here that's artificial. And according to history, they had fixed it in such a way that by sight you couldn't tell it. Solomon, with his wisdom, walked over, they said, and he looked outside and there was some honeybees there. He opened up the window and he waited for the honeybees to come and reveal the secret. And when the honeybees went to the right one, he said, that's the reality. You know, you can't tell them by looking at them, folks, can you? You can't tell them they are reflectors. Everybody's religious in the day we're living in. Everybody's religious. If you go overseas, they're religious. In America, they're religious. In Eden, they're religious. In Atlanta, Georgia, they're religious. In Florida, they're religious. Everywhere you go, they're religious. You can't tell anymore. You can't tell anymore. Years ago, you could tell who was and who wasn't. Years ago, a saint looked like a saint and not a haint. Years ago, a saint dressed like a saint, and a saint walked like a saint, and a saint talked like a saint. But what's happened today? They've gone to sleep. They've gone to sleep. It was when Samson went to sleep that Delilah worked on the hair. You can tell by the looks of some of the ladies that they've gone to sleep. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? God's not interested in a woman's hair. Then why does the Bible speak against a woman having short hair? Why does the Bible speak against it if God isn't against it? The Bible said that if she has short hair, that if she prophesies, it's a shame unto her. It's the same as if she was shaven altogether and being naked. Now, why does God speak that way? He said she ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, let's look at it for a few minutes through a spiritual eye, and let's just judge it. The Bible said, come and let us reason together, and let's see why God speaks like that. Let's see why the devil wants the woman to cut her hair off and bob her hair off. I know a lot of people are innocent in that they don't know and they haven't been taught. But folks, it's time we found out. Isn't that right? What we call the rapture is getting closer and closer to hand. Why does God want the woman to have long hair? Because she is a type of the church. And the Bible said her hair is a symbol of the glory of God. And the Bible said that the government is supposed to be upon the shoulders. And the devil can't stand that. He'll do anything in the world to do away with that. Did you know that this government upon her shoulders, this glory that rests upon her shoulders, that is her glory? That is her glory. And did you know that represents the covenant of God to the church? Do you realize that this woman with the hair down upon her shoulders, that represents the strength of her covenant with her husband? And that when that hair is cut, it means the covenant between her and her husband has been broken. Because the man represents Christ and the woman represents the church. See, God wants you to look like the church, and he wants you to have the glory of God, which is the covering. Now listen for just a minute. The Bible speaks of the covering of his glory. Let's just get into Revelation just for a minute and see what it says. The Bible speaks of the covering of his glory. The Bible said you cover with a covering, but you don't cover with my covering. Look at the Catholic Church. Back there, the nuns shaving their heads off. And then they put on the veil. Why did they do that? It represented the harlotry of the church in having departed from the name of the Lord. They had a covering. But what kind of covering was it? It wasn't God's covering of the hair. He said, you cover with a covering, but not my covering. They didn't have the covering that God gave the woman. The Bible said her hair is her covering. It represents the covering of the church. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden. What happened to Adam and Eve? Now listen for a moment. There's Adam and Eve in the garden. It reminds me again of being here at Eden. They were in the Garden of Eden. A lot of people in the same shape here in Eden. Listening to the wrong voice just like Eve did. But here they were in the Garden of Eden. They were lovely people, healthy people, had everything to live for. No sickness, no problems, no weights, no despondency. There they were in the Garden of Eden. But all of a sudden something happened. You say, Brother Pike, what happened? They lost their covering. They lost their covering. What kind of covering did they lose? They lost the covering of his glory. They were under that great, wonderful Shekinah glory of God. As long as they were under that Shekinah, they were illuminated with the lovely presence of God. And they were holy and they were godly. And nothing could defile them and nothing could mislead them. But see, through the weakness of the woman, the Bible said that sin is in the world because of lust. All of a sudden she became enticed. The writer tells us that we first are enticed. Then we are drawn away from our steadfastness in God. Then comes forth this lust, and when lust conceives, sin comes forth, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. There was Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve got away from her head just a little ways. She got out from under the protection of her headship. And the beast that was in the garden, the serpent that was in the garden, began to communicate with her. And he began to tell her about the tree of knowledge. Now listen, folks, that's where we get in trouble. We want to know too much about too many things. And not wanting to know enough about God. See, she should have been learning more about God. God had said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Because when you lean to your own understanding, you will go astray. Because Satan hath interwoven himself within your human person. And he savors the things that be of the flesh. He savors the things that be of the world. He savors the things that be of the human senses. And he will bind you and blind you. And he will put you into captivity. And he will feed upon you as a parasite. He savors the things of this world because he is the prince of this world. That's why the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Eve is protected. But when she gets away from God, God said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Why did God do that? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Why did he do that? It was the knowledge of good and evil. Why did God tell her not to eat of it? Because she already had the good. Isn't that right? Being with God, hearing God's word, isn't that the good? She had everything good. God said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why did he do that? Because he knew she could not get but one thing from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was the evil because she already had the good. So he said, don't eat of that tree. Don't partake of that tree. We could go into a lot of things in Revelation tonight if we had time, but we're just going to bypass them to get a thought over here. So then the covering of his glory. There was Eve, bone of the bone and flesh of her husband. There she was with everything that heart could wish for. But the enticing voice said, eat of the tree, Eve. But Eve said, God has told us that we'll die if we do that. Thou shalt not surely die. The preacher told me not to do that. The preacher said God's word said I shouldn't do that. God's word speaking through the preacher said don't do that. But the voice said, thou, it's not surely like that. But God's word said be holy. God's word said be pure. God's word said be godly. But it's not just exactly like that, a voice says. You don't have to do it exactly like that. So the devil says to Eve, you will not surely die. God doth know when you eat of this tree, you will become as gods, knowing good and evil. That's why he doesn't want you to eat of this tree. He wants to lord over you. He wants to know everything and you know nothing. And poor Eve, she listened. She listened. She listened to what the devil had to say. A lot of women today are listening to what the devil has to say. Did you know that? A lot of women today are listening to what the devil has to say. And did you know hundreds and thousands of women have lost their virtue and they've literally become harlots in the world today? Married women and mothers and their husbands doesn't know it till yet. I've actually been in the room counseling with men and women, and there'd be two or three men in there and two or three women, and all of a sudden I'd pick up a spirit, and this man was mating with this other man's wife right there in their mind, and she was mating back with him. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Remember this, friend. Human relation is not degraded. Human relation is an instigation of God. There is nothing wrong with human relation in male and female. Jesus said, multiply and replenish the earth. It's a beautiful, clean, holy, godly thing. But he said, the whoremonger and the adulterer God will judge. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, outside of that city, there are liars and whoremongers and adulterers and fornicators. The Bible said any man or woman backbiting with her tongue would not stand in those holy hills. Are you listening? So then it's not the act between male and female. It wasn't the man and woman coming together that caused the adultery. It wasn't what it was. It was that evil spirit of Lucifer that went in the heart and defiled the temple. The act was instigated of God, but God got a proper order for it. And the devil perverts it and takes it out of God's order. And then the evil spirit that gets into a man or woman, that causes them to mate with another one or to look on them to lust after them. It's the defiling of the temple that God's interested in. It is the spirit of evil getting into the hearts. That's what causes the problem. So then, here is Eve. She's standing there. She's committed her wrong. She's done evil. She's disobeyed God. You say, what did she do, Brother Pike? The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And she's broken that lifeline between her and God. She disbelieved what God said. Her faith is gone. And when her faith was gone, the mercy of God left her. God couldn't get to her. God's been trying to help her ever since, but he can't get to her. Because her faith is gone. The middle wall of partition came in. Even Lucifer in the flesh. That's why the Bible said at Calvary, God broke down the middle wall of partition, taking it out of the way. He rent the veil, and the Bible said to make a new way unto God. That is to say, through his flesh, in rending his body, that you might not have the flesh between you and God. So that the flesh is counted dead by the body of Jesus Christ. And he that knew no sin was made sin, even your sins, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Taking out of the way the keeping of ordinances and commandments, nailing them to the cross, making an open show of those kind of things, that we might have the wonderful grace of the Son of God and the blessings of our Savior. All by faith in the spilt blood of the Son of God. But what happened to Eve? She lost her covering. Now, are you listening? Did you notice the very first thing that is stated concerning the Scripture? After the woman sins and the man sins, the Bible said their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. Tell me something. How did they know that they were naked? It's hard to understand. In that they did not know it before. They were just as naked before as they were after that she ate that forbidden fruit. Both of them were naked, and the Bible said they were not ashamed. Why is it that both of them were naked and they were not ashamed? And then all of a sudden they're naked and they are ashamed. You know the difference? It's like I said the other night, you can have automobiles, you can have land, you can have cars, you can have all the natural carnal things of the world. Because God created the carnal things for you. But beloved friend, the Bible says you cannot be carnally minded. You cannot be carnally minded. You can have carnal things, but you cannot be carnally minded. You can't be automobile minded. You can't be passion minded. You can't be worldly minded. You've got to be God minded. So then, they were naked. Why were they naked? They were already naked. Why then were they ashamed? You know why they were ashamed? Because they lost the covering of his glory. The glory of God was upon them and they were not ashamed. But did you know that ever since Adam and Eve lost the covering of God's glory, did you know that we have been ashamed in His sight ever since? Paul said, I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. I found that sin gets its strength by the law. And that which I thought would be my life, it became my death. Thus I was made ashamed, he said. And the Bible said, keep your garment lest ye walk naked and they see your shame. Man has been ashamed in the presence of God ever since. And did you know the only way that it can keep from being ashamed is to turn to the glory of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the blessings of the spilt blood? Do you know other than that, he's under condemnation. It doesn't matter what kind of religious ritualistics he has in his life. He can count all the beads he wants to count. He can do the cross. He can do anything he wants to. But beloved friend, if God is not in his heart, if God's Spirit is not in his heart, he's going to be under condemnation. He's going to be tore up. He's going to feel that condemnation that will crush him and kill his faith and cut off the lifeline between him and God. For the Bible said the just shall live by faith, and without faith there is no life. So then what happened? They lost the covering of his glory. That's why they were ashamed. It wasn't a matter of looking at the human body. There was nothing wrong with the human body. But when that evil, abased mind began to take hold of them, see, it wasn't a matter of human garment. It was a matter of not having condemnation in their heart. It was a matter that they were pure in their heart. They did not see any evil. Their eyes of understanding did not behold evil. All they could see was that which was holy, that which was pure. With the eyes of the understanding, the writer Paul said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this wonderful revelation of God. By the enlightenment of your understanding, in the day thou eatest thereof, Lucifer said, something's going to happen to your eyes of understanding. He said, you're going to see and you're going to be like gods. You're going to see and you can be like gods. I wish we had time to elaborate on it tonight. But the covering of the glory was gone. They were filled with shame. And what did they do? They run over there and they got the fig leaves. Oh, that is, they run over there and they got the leaves of the tree. Why did they get the leaves of the tree? Because God had made a covenant with them. And that covenant was the fruit that was in the garden. It was the water covenant. God's made three covenants, water covenant, blood covenant, spirit covenant. I wish we had time to go into it. But the water covenant was the covenant he made with them. That was what sustained their life. Wherever there was a covenant made, that was the substance of life. That's what sustained life. So they run over there to cover up their nudeness. They run over there to cover up their shame. But God said that won't do anymore. That water covenant was good as long as the Shekinah glory was upon you. Said, but it won't cover your nakedness anymore. Said, it's going to take something outside of that because it isn't the body that's uncovered. He said, your shame is on the inside. This is where you're uncovered. My spirit hath withdrawn. And you've let Satan contaminate your mind. You've let Satan infiltrate the body. And the mind and the soul. And because of this, there's going to be death to you and all of those that belong to you. And ever since man has been sick, and ever since man has died, and ever since man has had problems, and God has tried his very best to restore, to bring us back to life. But see, the covering of the glory was gone. They had gotten out from under the Shekinah glory of God. They did not have eternal life. If they had eternal life, they could never have died. Because eternal life means to never die. They did not have eternal life. But they could live eternally as long as they were under the Shekinah. As long as they were in the presence of eternal life, they could continue to live. But when they were enticed out from the presence of that Shekinah, beloved friend, then they died. And all of their descendants died because they lost the covering of his glory. And later the prophet speaks down through the ages and he says, Oh, mankind, you cover with a covering, but not of my glory. You cover with a covering, but not the covering that I had for you. That is to say, there is a mind that you've got. There's an understanding that you've got. There's some thinking that you've got. There's some things that's in your mind. You've got a covering, an intellectual covering. That intellectual covering causes you to put on clothes. It causes you to wash your body. It causes you to cover your nakedness up. You've got a covering. You've got an intellectual covering. You've got an intellectual understanding. Your spirit on the inside is taken on a covering. But what kind of covering is it? It's not the covering of God. It's not the covering of light. It's not the covering of His glory. It's the covering of your intellectual darkness. God said, turn my people from darkness unto light. Paul, that intellectual thing that comes from the tree of knowledge. Ever since you've fanned the sparks of it. The whole world is built upon knowledge. It's nothing but school and college and education all the time. Everywhere you go, not only here but in the foreign fields. What is it? It's that old devil. That old devil of science, Paul said, that's falsely so called. The word science means knowledge. Paul said it's a false knowledge. You're going to find out it doesn't have the answer. You're going to find out it's going to lead you into the wrong thing. And the more you cultivate it and the more you stand by it, the worse of the world's going to be. Your daughters have already become prostitutes and your sons have already become whoremongers. And it's growing bigger and bigger and bigger. In the college, not too far from where we've got a campground, the students come to counsel with me. You know what they do? The young girls and the young men, they make together. They've got their own dormitories to where they practice their filth. And did you know the professors is mixed up in it too, as sodomites? Did you know it was at that same college that not too long ago that young men and women stripped their clothes off naked? The same devilish thing that Lucifer done to them in the garden. They literally stripped their clothes away and they called it streaking. Running across the campus. It's a covering, beloved friend, but it's not the covering of God. It's not the covering of virtue. It's not the covering of holiness. It's not the covering of pureness. It's not the covering of godliness. It's that intellectual definition of being half nude as you go about from place to place. Going along down by the shores in your bathing suit. Somebody says, Brother Pike, don't be a fanatic. You mean to tell me it's wrong, Brother Pike, for a woman to go naked? I believe it is. You mean to tell me that it's wrong for a man to go naked? I believe it is. Somebody says, but I don't go naked. I just go half naked. I think you go a little more than half. The ones I've seen has been a little more than half. If it had just about half, it would have been a whole lot better. Folks, you mean to tell me that the God of heaven is going to tolerate that kind of thing and tell you that that's godliness and that's holiness, when the Bible said that God Himself took Adam and Eve when they were naked and made coats of skin to cover them up with? God did that. You tell me that God's going to tolerate the way that mankind's doing today when the Bible said that Jesus Christ is our example and we ought to follow in His steps? And the Bible said when He stood in the midst of the candlesticks, His garment was all the way down to His feet. Lady, can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand before the God of all the earth who wore His garment down to His feet? And you looking like you look. Are you listening, folks? The covering. They lost their covering. Now listen for just a minute. God up in heaven, somebody will go by and let a woman dress decent, let her put on a garment to cover her nakedness, lay out a sin, not naked, he said. Let her put on something to cover her nakedness. You know what happened? Some Jezebel, some hypocrite comes by and says, isn't that thing hot? Are you listening? Yet men all around wear their garments down to their feet. But they say, isn't that thing hot? And yet the same hypocrite will come back and they'll put on pants all the way down to their feet. But they can't stand it if that woman looks like a lady. The devil can't stand it because she's trying to look like the church. And they're mocked. When years ago, that was what a lady was. That was the way a lady dressed. In the frontier days, that's the way a lady dressed. You didn't find women dressing any other way because they were ladies. They were not just women, but ladies. I can remember in the South, when if you insulted a lady, you could get killed. I've been standing around when men would be talking and some man would say the wrong thing and the woman would walk up and somebody would nudge him and say, be quiet, there's a lady. Now then you do that and somebody says, a lady, what a joke. Are you listening? Are you listening? Folks, we need to get back to what God taught us to be. You say, but Brother Pike, the world doesn't do that. I don't care what the world does. I want to do what God wants done. What's the world got to do with it? Just because somebody has got a little position in the world or somebody's been to some college and some bald-headed professor's given them some paper saying you're ignorant, or rather you're equal to me now. You're not ignorant anymore. You know, I'm a bald-headed professor and there's been another bald-headed professor and another professor. And we've handed it down one to another and we've got it all together now. And because you believe what we believe and you go the way I tell you to go and you take a bow to us, here's your little paper. You can take it now. You've got your document and the world will approve you. Folks, don't you know that's childish? The Bible said, how will you ever have honor of God when you're seeking to honor one of another? Said, measuring yourselves by yourselves and among yourselves, you're not wise. Do you think somebody's going to measure me by a piece of paper? What are we doing? God don't want a bunch of robots. You've got a mind of your own. You've got an understanding of your own. You've got a life of your own. You're supposed to live it. You're not supposed to be a slave to somebody. You're supposed to subject yourself to the Word of God. This is to be the chief thought. You know, there's people that work on a job. And I admire people with this kind of perseverance. But they'll work on one job all of their life and never miss one day. Just to get some pen that somebody will give them. Or to get a pat on the back. Or to have somebody say he's a great fella. And they lay down and die and they put them in a hole and they've never done anything. I had an uncle like that. He was a wonderful man. He was a perseverer. Worked when he was sick. If he lost a day, he'd make up for it. He'd give his entire life to the corporation and the big operation. And the man sat behind the desk and he smoked the cigars and he laughed at the foolishness of them that was doing it. Somebody say amen. Enslave you and kill you and take your life away from you, run you through some college or some school to make you think you're something, and then put you over here in their business, and while they frolic and have a good time, you work your life out because you think you've got some kind of prestige because you feel that you're something. God help us to wake up and get away from foolishness. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away those childish things. Folks, I know that we as people have been caught in these things, but you are sons and daughters of the living God, and you're supposed to be about your Father's business. It's all right to work. It's good to be an honest fella. It's good to be a regular worker. You ought to do that. But it's not good to be enslaved by somebody's mind or somebody's business. It's not good to be bound up like a fly in a spider web to where you can't honor God and you can't obey God. You love the Lord? See, the covering was gone. He said, you got a covering now, but it's a covering of darkness. You're in the night now. You're lost in the darkness. You can't find your way back. But you know what? Mr. Intellectual can explain it to you. If you'll go knock on his door, he can give you the answer. He can't listen to the preacher and he can't pay any attention to what God has to say about it. But he's got the answer. You just watch him. And that God is going to put him in the flame of the fire. For the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You love the Lord? Lucifer thinks he's got the answers. But beloved friend, it won't be long and it'll be said to him like this. The Bible said when God puts him in the belly of hell, that those others down there, those great kings and those great leaders and those great men like Al Capone and the other, those great men of the underworld, said they're going to look upon him and say, you mean you come down here too? You are the one that didn't loose your prisoners. You're the one that had the answer. You're the one that can handle a situation. How is it that you're down here? He's going to be down there with them. He's going to be down there with them. You know what? I don't care to be smart. I don't care to be a great intellectual. I just want to be faithful. I just want to be a Christian. Do you love Jesus? I love the Lord. I love the Lord. You say, Brother Pike, do you uphold ignorance? I do not promote ignorance. Whatever you want to talk about, I can talk about it. Pick your subject. We don't promote ignorance. If you don't believe it, come over and tap on my door. It don't matter if it's on the medicine, on the physical, on the spiritual, on the natural, on the mechanic side, whatever you want to talk about. But let me tell you something. Though I do not promote ignorance, yet there's one thing I do believe, and that is God having the preeminence in our life. I believe that I ought to be subject to God in all things, and whatever I learn and whatever I know ought to be secondary to what God wants. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto me. I'm going to try to find a place to close here, folks. Eve lost the covering. This is why they were ashamed. Something had happened on the inside. They had lost their virtue. They had lost their virtue. They had a covering, but it was the intellectual darkness being cut off from God. It wasn't the lovely covering of the Son of God. I wish we had time to preach this message. We've got some tapes where we preach something along this line. But I want you to think on this tonight. Have you lost your covering? The only way you can do is come back to God. This is why I spoke of the woman's hair. This is why I spoke of the woman's clothes. This is why the devil doesn't want the woman to dress right. And this is why the devil doesn't want the woman to have her hair down on her shoulders. This is why. Because it shows the restoration of the church. And it shows the full covering of the church. And it shows her husband having control over her. For when she cuts her hair off, it indicates that she has rejected his government. That's the power on the head because of the angels. I wish we had time to explain it. See, that is the controlling factor of God to the church. We bear His government upon our shoulders, beloved friend. And there's nothing more beautiful than a woman with her hair on her shoulders. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's got on her dress that's fully covered. Somebody would say, well, I don't see it that way, Brother Pike. You know why you don't? Because you've got a lust devil, that's why. You'd rather see the woman in form-fitting clothes. You'd rather see her half-naked because it stimulates your passions. But if you was a real man and had the respect for God and the virtue of your wife and the decency of your children and the decency of your surrounding, you wouldn't have that kind of thinking. Somebody says, oh my, shut up or do something. You love the Lord? Somebody says, Brother Pike, can I say shut up? You're at full liberty. Devils can holler when they get ready. They did in Jesus' service. As he preached, they jumped up and hollered right in his service. You say, you've never had that, have you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I've had that too. Folks, let me tell you, God loves you. You're God's people. You're the rulers of this world. You're going to own everything in this world. You do own everything in this world as children of God. These other people, as I said the other night, they're squatters. Brother Pike was sent here by God. I came here by God. God told me to come to Eden. Have you considered that? I didn't come here to have a revival. I didn't come here to set a tent. I can set a tent in many places. They're asking me to. But God up in heaven said, go to Eden and set a tent in Eden. God told me to come here. Did you know that makes a difference? When God tells you something, did you know that makes a difference? That makes a difference. Why did God send me here? It must be that he has some people here. It must be that God has some people here. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe he sent you here. Well, does that make it of none effect? The Bible said, can your unbelief make the word of God of none effect? If God says, by my stripes you're healed, and somebody don't believe it, does that make that of none effect? Don't God just bypass that unbeliever and go down to the next house and perform his word? It doesn't change his word. It doesn't alter his word because somebody intellectually wanted to throw it out because they thought they were intelligent. And I don't know of a greater display of ignorance than to avoid the word of God, or tear the word of God down. That's the greatest display of ignorance there is. You might dispute with a person, but not with God. So then, friend, tonight, we are here because God told us to come. And we're speaking to you as men and women of understanding because I believe that God has people in Eden. I believe God told me to come here because he's got people here in this city. It's obvious that he has. From night to night, they've come out and listened very reverently. There must be people that love God. There must be intelligent people. There must be godly people. There must be people with understanding to do that. There must be. So then Eve lost her covering. Folks, do you want to be covered again tonight? Every person that is not born again doth not have a covering. You've got to come to God. You've got to be born again. You've got to repent of your sins to get that restoration of that wonderful covering of God. You've got to have it. Did you know Lucifer's called the covering cherub? And did you know that when you get away from God and you get with Lucifer, he covers you with his iniquity and with his desire and his abaseness, and you become his subject? I want you to stand with me tonight. A lot of things that we could say tonight that would perhaps be of interest to you and of interest to me and interest to God. But these thoughts I would like for you to think upon tonight. Are you covered with the covering of God tonight? Do you really have the inner mind of understanding, which is God's understanding, as the covering of your soul tonight? Or do you have an intellectual concept of religion and your thoughts as to conviction in what you think that you would like to do or the way that you feel like it is? What kind of covering do you have tonight? Thou art covered with a covering, but not of my glory, not of my covering. So then tonight, let's think upon that. In the Old Testament, a harlot covered with a certain covering. She sat by the wayside, she put on a certain covering. And everybody that passed by knew that she was a harlot because the Old Testament law said she had to have a certain covering. And everybody knew she was a harlot. And them that were virgins, read it in the book of, in the teachings of King David, and in the reading of the Chronicles, the virgins had a certain covering, a beautiful garment that made them outstanding. And everybody knew that they were a virgin and clean and holy. So then today it's the same way, beloved friend. It's the same way. You can tell. One has one covering. Another has another covering. You love the Lord? The story goes that two harlots came before Solomon. There was a baby involved. Both had a little child. One through the night had smothered the little one to death. The other through the night had protected the little one. There was a dispute in the morning because the mother had stolen the child. That is, the one to whom it did not belong. She had taken the child. So there was a dispute. They brought it before King Solomon in his great wisdom. Solomon immediately looked. Solomon, with his wisdom, he knew exactly what to do. He said, "Bring the sword." He said, "Hold the child up. We're going to divide the child and give half to one mother and half to another mother." And all of a sudden, the voice rang out and said, "No. Oh, no, do the child no harm. Let the woman have the child." And Solomon said, "Take the child from this woman, because this woman was willing for the child to be divided. She did not care for the life of the child. She said, let him be divided." Now, first of all, why? Because if you was without a child, that is, in that case, you did not have an inheritance. The woman, rather than lose her inheritance, she just decided it's better to divide the child. Let me have my gullible desire of my inheritance, even if it takes the life of the child. But Solomon said, no. Said, the child belongs to the mother that's willing to give it up to spare its life. Said, give the child to the mother that careth for the life. I said this, friend, to say something else. God did that to illustrate things all through the Old Testament. We are considered, all of us, away from God. We're considered in the realms of harlotry because we are away from God till we are redeemed and born again. And we're all bringing forth a little child in our heart. And we're going through the siege of the dark night of intellectual reasoning and covering. And through this night, one of those little children are going to die because the Bible said God's going to smite the firstborn as he did in Egypt. Through this dark night, a mother's going to get careless. You know, when a mother's carrying the child, a mother's going to get careless during this dark night. And that little one on the inside is going to be dead in the morning. But there's going to be a mother that through the night, she's going to watch over that little one. And she's going to have hers alive in the morning. And that little one is going to bring her an inheritance. But the other one isn't going to get an inheritance. You know, you are a wonderful people. I watched a man tonight that the devil was on. He really got upset. He thought that thing that he had it figured out. And he didn't like what I said. But the Bible said the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. And it don't take God long to get rid of those kind of people that trouble him and trouble his way of life. But I thank God for you people tonight. Most everybody that has come out here, not all, there's been a few people that was of the devil and caused problems during the service. But most everybody that's come out here has been considerate, has listened, has paid attention. Irregardless to what was said or how it was said, they took it to heart and they listened. And sometimes when it cut across their fancy or their way of life, they still considered it as to whether it was right or whether it was wrong. God will bless people like that. God will bless a city like that. God will bless a place like that. God will bring health and prosperity and blessings to people like that. You love the Lord? Think on it, folks. I pick up your spirits. God has blessed me with discernment And I can pick up each one of your spirits unless God hides it from me. And I can tell what you're thinking. And I can tell the way you received the message. And I can tell who you are and tell whether you're elect or not. And I know there's some that come in that's restless. I know that. And I know they've reasoned against me. But on the other hand, it's been a very minor thing. Others have reasoned because people have to reason. God said, come and let us reason together. And they reason in a way as to find out the truth. And some, after reasoning one way, resolve to go another way, saying it really is truth. But on the other hand, there's always that one that's in the congregation that's of the devil. And they came for no other purpose. And they love the things of the world. And they're headed for a wreck. And they're headed for heartache. And they're headed for death. And they're headed for sorrow. You can be sure of one thing, beloved friend. If you don't believe this is true, you ask a few people around. When you come to this ministry, when you come to this way of life, when you come to what we're preaching, you don't go to nothing else after that. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. If you think I'm kidding, there's some people that you can talk to and you'll see I'm telling you right. You may go to a lot of ministries. You may go to a lot of places. You may hear a lot of things. And you may decide that you don't like it and change to something else. But one time you come to this, you don't go anywhere. After that, if you don't get in, God considers you an outcast. And you are in sorrow and heartaches and wolves and hot water from then on, as we say. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, you just wait till Brother Pike leaves. And you that have heard this word, you that have come to it, you try doing something else or going on your way that's contrary to the word of God and see if it doesn't happen to you just exactly like I'm telling you. But see, it's the real thing. If you do come to it, then you really got the truth. You really got the real thing, and you don't ever have to worry anymore. You just love the Lord and grow as you understand and do the best you can and hold on to the truth, and it'll all work out right in the day of the judgment. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this little chorus, I love him. Can we do that? Oh, I love him. Oh, yes, I love him. All because he first loved me. Can you sing it with me? And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You know why Jesus came as the second man, Adam? Adam was the son of God. They lost the covering. Jesus came to bring the covering back. And the Bible said, put ye on the covering, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't come into the wedding supper without the covering of his body. He's the lost covering, even the image, which is called the Son of God. For man was made in the image of God. And Adam was called the Son of God till his fall. And now, beloved, are you the sons of God if you have the covering? If you're created or recreated in his image. He came to bring the lost image back. To bring you the covering. Don't you want to be in his likeness? The Bible said we don't know what he'll be like, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. And everyone that sees has this hope within them, purifies their self even as he is pure, says, for then we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. That God won't despise our image in the morning. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, I love him. Don't you want to be in his image? Oh, I love him. All because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. tree. How can I be like him? He is the Word. All you got to do is become the Word tonight. Let the Word be made flesh tonight. Make your body become the Word tonight. Incorporate the Word in your body tonight. Make your body conform to the Word. Be holy in body and in spirit, that you may be blameless body, soul, and spirit. Just be the Word in your body. Whatever you think, whatever you do, whatever you say, you just be the Word. You let the Word, which is Christ, be your example, and you follow in his steps, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge, even the Word of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, meditating in his laws day and night. Be like that tree that's planted by the water. While they're playing this tonight, I wonder if you could step out and come to the altar. Numbers of nights, people have come to the altar, and I've seen people give their heart to God since we've been in this services, these services. Did you know that? I've saw them give their heart to Jesus. I had somebody to come the other night. They wasn't even planning to come, but somebody went by and gave them an invitation. And they felt like they were just an outcast. But somebody gave them an invitation, and they decided to come. And did you know, as far as I know tonight, they found Jesus. They found Jesus. They found peace. Did you know? The Bible said that the angels up in heaven rejoice over just one soul coming to repentance, rather than over 99 just people that need no repentance. Just one person can come to repentance. And the Bible said the angels in heaven have a jubilee. Wouldn't you like to create a jubilee in heaven tonight? The angels of God in heaven rejoice over one soul coming to repentance. You say, Brother Pike, why do they do that? Because they know the awfulness of the lake of fire. They know the terror of eternal loss. They know that horribleness that they hear. That horribleness down there when the rich man looked up there, and in paradise they looked down. And he said, I'm tormented. And the hundreds and thousands of people that are already in the flame screaming, they know that they're down there. And they see one soul, and that soul is escaping the flames. And they just have a jubilee. Gabriel, Michael, all of the angels screaming, no doubt, and hollering. All of them hollering, just screaming. You know, just hollering and screaming glories and praises to God. Somebody would say, you mean the angels is going to praise God? The Bible said everything in heaven, everything into the earth, everything under the earth, praise God. Michael and Gabriel just hollering, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can't you just picture Gabriel saying to Michael, hallelujah, glory to God, the blood done it again. The blood saved another one. There's another one that's saved to the pit that won't be screaming throughout eternity. Oh, folks, if you knew the worth of a soul tonight, if those nails had penetrated my hand and your hand, and the thorns had went into our head and our back had been cut to the bones, then we would know the worth of a soul. If we'd have went down into the bellies and chambers of hell like Jesus did to keep Brother Pike and to keep y'all from going, then we'd know the worth of a soul tonight. Did you know he actually went into the belly of hell and down through the flames of the fire? Jesus actually went into the flames of the fire. The Bible said God suffered not the soul of his Holy One to remain in hell. His soul actually went through the fire down into hell to keep my soul from going there. If we'd have went there, we'd know the worth of a soul tonight. We'd know the punishment tonight. We'd know what it means. We'd know what it means. Tonight, while you're standing here, I want you to lift your hands up with me. Can you do that? Oh, hallelujah. I feel God tonight, don't you? I feel God tonight. I really do. I feel a deep depths of sincerity. You know, it was Jesus that preached about hell. It wasn't the apostles only. Jesus is the one that spoke about it. Where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, he said. Ain't you glad you don't have to go, folks? Did you know there's only one little breath between a person and eternity? Did you know that God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils, and by that you are a living soul tonight? And there's only one tiny breath between you and eternity tonight. If that little heart quits beating and it doesn't pick up air anymore, then that means you're dead. You're gone. Your life is in your nostrils tonight. Do you know that you only have a temporal life tonight? And while you're breathing that breath of life, if you don't make the change over to this eternal life, do you know you're forever lost? While you have this breath of life, you've got to change over to that eternal life. Because once this breath of life is gone, you cannot change over to that eternal life. Oh, beloved friend, receive ye His Spirit tonight. Receive ye the Holy Ghost tonight. That wonderful Holy Ghost, receive ye the Holy Ghost tonight. He said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine, and there is but one Spirit, even the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ Himself. Receive ye the Spirit of Christ. Let the loving Holy Ghost come into you tonight. Lift your faith up tonight and your hearts up tonight, and let God bless you in a great way tonight. God wants to do something for you tonight. God loves you tonight, and God wants to help you tonight. Will you surrender your heart to Him? Will you surrender your mind to Him? Will you let Him have His way tonight? Will you do that while your hearts are lifted up to God and your hands are lifted up to God tonight? Let God in. Let God bless you. Let God bless you. While they're playing on the instruments tonight, if you're sick in body and you want to be prayed for, if you'll step right up here, I'll lay hands on you and pray for you, and God will heal you tonight. You say, how do you know God will heal them? Because God said He would heal them. He was the one that said it. I'm just telling you what He said. The Bible said, by His stripes you're healed. It's in Calvary. The atonement is there. We're to accept it tonight as we pray. Can you believe tonight? Don't you want to be healed? Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be healthy? Don't you want to have all that God's got for you? I want all that God's got for me tonight. I do. I want all that God's got for me tonight. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and let's love the Lord. Can we do it tonight? Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for this brother tonight. Dear God, I feel the healing virtue of Christ here tonight. And I feel the faith of the saints of God tonight. All because of Calvary, all because of Jesus. Father, I feel you healing tonight. Father, heal this body tonight. Make this body well tonight. Oh God, let thy Spirit dwell in this body tonight. Oh God, lift up our faith in Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, heal and Father, bless in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for my brother tonight. Oh, hallelujah. As I feel your Spirit, as I feel your blessing, mighty God of heaven, let your Spirit heal tonight. Let your Spirit anoint tonight. Let your Spirit bless tonight, God. Oh, God, let it go into this heart, this quickening that I feel, this presence of the Lord that I feel here tonight. God, heal this brother. Touch this brother. Anoint this brother. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to use this brother. Use him in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of God come down upon her. Oh, God, in your sight, there's neither male nor female, Father. But, God, the blessings that come from heaven is for all. God, and upon all, Lord. And you said upon your handmaidens you would pour out of your Spirit. Pour out of your Spirit tonight. Oh, God, pour out of your Spirit tonight. Heal and save tonight and forgive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hand up and love the Lord tonight? I feel faith tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be here. May the power of God be here. Father, heal. Father, bless. Father, break the yoke. God, restore tonight. God, give her the desires of her heart tonight. Move by your Spirit, O God. Move by your Spirit. Satan, I adjure thee by God, by the spilled blood of Calvary and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you take your hand off of the sister. Take your hands off of her, Satan. Take your hands off of her home. Take your hands off of her life, off of her way of going. I adjure thee by God, in the name of Jesus, to take your hands off. Heal, forgive, and bless in Jesus' name. Father, bless my brother tonight. May this great, wonderful spirit that I feel, may the power of God that I feel, may this faith that I feel here tonight enter into this life and into this heart and into the soul. Bless my brother. Oh God, he's sincere toward you tonight. He wants your blessing. I want you to hear from heaven, Father. Oh, Holy Father, heal, bless, grant him the desires of his heart in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, bless this little one tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon him tonight. May the blessings of God be here tonight. In the name of Jesus tonight, break every yoke. May the Holy Ghost tonight have his way. God, I feel your blessings tonight to heal and to save in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the blessings of the Lord be here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, may your blessings be here. Father, heal. I feel you healing tonight. Father, heal this body. Break every yoke, move every bondage. Oh God, draw this person close to your side. Bless this person. May the healing of the Lord be there. Heal in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch this brother tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon him. May the blessings of the Lord be here. Father, I want you to heal tonight. May you heal tonight. May you bless tonight, Father. To break the yokes and the bondages. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you praise the Lord tonight? I feel God here tonight. I feel the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we?
Oh, I love him.
Can you love him?
Oh, I love him. All because he first loved me.
Sing it with me, folks.
And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Do you love him tonight? Lift your hands up and let's tell him we love him tonight. If you love him, just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that right? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Didn't he say that? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Don't you want to be like him tonight? Don't you want to keep his commandments tonight? Don't you really want to be like Jesus tonight? Folks, there's nothing like being like Jesus. Just to think that you've got eternal life tonight. You don't have to worry when you lay down on your bed at night. If you close your eyes, you just slip over the river, and there you are in that land. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know I'll just go to sleep. Folks, you won't be asleep. Lazarus wasn't asleep. Abraham wasn't asleep. If you go to hell, you're not going to be asleep.
If you go into paradise, you're not going to be asleep. You're going to know what's going on more than you ever knew what was going on. You're going to be alive. You are people alive. You're forever alive, folks. You've got eternal life. Glory to God, what a consolation. When you press in this world what you call the death pillar, what a consolation to know that you're going to be living right on and on and on and on. Can you say, I love Him? Lift your hands up again and say, I love Him. Say, Jesus, I love You. Jesus, I love You. I want You to heal me tonight. I want You to save me tonight. I want You to forgive me tonight because I love You, Jesus. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love Him. All because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Lift your hands and close your eyes now. While we're standing here tonight, your eyes closed, your hands lifted up. Think over what I said, beloved friend. Are we going to be lukewarm? Are we going to be hot or cold? Are we going to mean business with God? Are we going to be real Christians? Are we going to say, Jesus, help us? Lord, we failed You, but I'm asking You to help me now. It's time for me to straighten up now, Lord. It's time for me to do right. I've stumbled and I've staggered, but oh Lord, I want to do right now. I want to do right. It's getting close to the end. I want to do right, Lord. While you've got your hands up, let's pray together, can we? Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, God, look down upon these people tonight. Oh, God, look down tonight. Father, these are the sheep of Your pastor. These are Your people, Father. God, let that great Spirit come down tonight. May every heart be taken tonight. God, may every spirit be anointed tonight. May every person feel the divine connection with that great love of God. Oh God, these are Your people tonight. Father, heal these people. Father, save these people. And oh God, make these people to be aware of the blessings. I want You to bless these people, Father. I want them to go away from here saying it was good to be here. I want them to go away being blessed tonight. I want You to bless them physically, Father. I want You to bless them financially, Father. They need financial blessings to pay their bills with, Father. Dear God, they need the touch of Your hand upon their body. They need to be delivered from oppression of mind. And oh God, they need to be a light. They need strength, God, so that they can overcome. And I want You to bless them. I want You to give them Your blessing. Move the covering of darkness and cover them with the covering of Your Shekinah glory tonight. Grant it, Father. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant it in Jesus' name. While you've got your hands up, while you're praising God tonight, while you're loving the Lord tonight, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if your conviction is in the Word tonight. Check yourself out tonight and see if you really love the Lord tonight. See if Jesus is in your heart tonight. I want you to keep your hands up for just a few minutes. I'm going to ask Brother Stan Baker to come up here. Stan loves the Lord. He sings that song that I like so well about peace, God's peace. While you've got your eyes closed for just a minute, as our Brother Stan comes, Stan is a clean-cut person, a person that believes and prays in the prayer of faith. And while you've got your hands up tonight, and while you're loving the Lord tonight, and while you're concerned tonight, while you're believing tonight, I want Stan to get that mic right back there. And I want him to come up here and I want him to pray with you. And we want to pray for just a minute right here. And I want him to pray with you. And I want you to really ask God to do something for you tonight. Will you do that? I promise you, folks, from the bottom of my heart, that God will heal your body. Don't think I'm just saying that. I promise you from the bottom of my heart that you'll find out that cancer's gone out of your body. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. Check up and see if I'm lying. Check up and see if I'm telling you the truth. You'll find diseases gone out of your body. You'll find healing. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel faith here tonight. I feel deliverance here tonight. You'll actually find your body recovering. And you'll find out that you've been healed to your utter amazement. You'll find out that God's done something for you. And you'll say, my God, it really happened. Folks, it's real. It's real. The healing of God is real. That Spirit of God goes right into your body, right into your lungs, right into your heart, right into you. We've got a number of people that's standing right here under this tent tonight that's been healed by faith and by prayer. They've been healed by the faith that I had and the prayer that I prayed. I could call a number of them up here tonight. They're here tonight. God will heal you. God will save you. While Stan is coming, come right on Stan. While Stan is coming, let's love the Lord tonight. Let's love the Lord tonight. You love Jesus tonight? It takes Christ to heal. It takes Christ to save. And while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed tonight, let the brother come and pray with you tonight.